Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, in London. Throughout the next week, Shia Muslims shall be celebrating the birth of the 12th Imam on the 15th of Sha'ban, who they believe is the Mahdi, and that he will return one day to establish justice and peace throughout the world.
My hands, my life are at your command. Help me, Ya Mahdi. Help me to help you in action and speech, to deliver your message to the people I reach. 1200 years you've been alive, and wait. You wait, we wait, we've prepared your seat. A Muslim, a man, a guide, our savior. God will bless us with you as a favor. They ask us, how is it you've lived for so long? We smile and remind them of Jesus and Elijah, or Khizr and Isa. They ask us, where are you? Why would God hide you? We remind them of Yusuf. You'll return when we decide to improve our actions, to accept our failures. Men rise to lead nations but fail for centuries. Our daily behavior makes God delay our savior. God promised your victory to us in the Quran, like Moses or Musa. He protected your birth. We have said in the Psalms and the Torah that my righteous servants will inherit the earth.
Well, although there are differences in the belief with regards to the identity of the Mahdi, the concept of the Mahdi is a universal belief amongst all Muslims. And we are discussing today the topic, waiting for the Mahdi. So, who is the Mahdi? What does he represent? Are there differences? And what are the differences between the Shia and the Sunni tradition? And which kind of lessons can we draw for today, for the Muslims living in our contemporary world? To respond to this question and to discuss this topic, I'm joined by Sayyid Ali Raza Rizvi, who is an Islamic scholar, orator and writer. He has translated the book Imam al-Mahdi at a glance. Also in the studio is Sheikh Dr. Soheib Hassan, who is the Secretary of the Islamic Sharia Council of the UK. He has written his thesis on the concept of the Mahdi amongst the Ahl Sunnah. Thank you, both of you, for being with us today. I want to start with you, Sheikh Ali, by asking you from the Shia tradition, who is the Mahdi and what does he represent?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. According to the Shia belief, the Holy Prophet had said in many traditions, in both Shia books and Sunni books, that my 12th successor will have my name and my kunya. He will be also called Abul Qasim. And the name is same as the Holy Prophet's. The word Mahdi itself is not a name, it is a title. It is a laqab, which means the rightly guided. And because that concept exists in all the different religions of the Savior, who will be coming in the future sometime. So that concept was given by the Holy Prophet as well, which also existed in the previous books, other religions, in Islam itself. Now all the books, traditional books of Shias and Sunnis, talk about the Mahdi with the title Mahdi, not with the name. However, the Shias believe that he is the 12th successor, the tradition that exists in Sahih al-Bukhari and also in Sahih Muslim, and other traditional books of the Shias and the Sunnis, that I will have 12 successors. The Shias believe that this 12th successor is al-Mahdi, who was born on the 15th of Sha'ban in 255 Hijra, and he still lives. He's in occultation. He has two types of occultations. One was a short occultation of about 70 years, 69 years and some months, and the major occultation is still existing. He will reappear on the 10th of Muharram, according to some of the traditions. So when he will reappear from Kaaba, from Mecca, and he will form a revolution to free all the Muslims. will come to Medina first and then to Iraq, because Iraq will be center of attention before he comes.
So before that, just what is the meaning of his absence and the meaning of his presence?
Yeah. When we say that he is absent, we mean that he is in occultation.
Yes.
Now there is a difference of opinion in some ulama and some scholars who believe that he is absent, that he's invisible. But most of the ulama argue he's not invisible. His absence is just like the absence of Yusuf, Nabi Yusuf, the Prophet Joseph, to his brothers, who saw him but could not recognize him. So the people today cannot recognize the Imam when they see him. But he exists, he lives, and he is on earth. He's not like Jesus or Isa, that he lives in the heavens.
Well, these are different interpretations of this occultation itself.
Yes.
And we'll come back to the presence. Sheikh Soheb Hassan, you wrote a book on the Mahdi according to the Sunni tradition. When you listen to occultation, Imam al-Ghaib, the Mahdi, there are differences in the Sunni tradition. What are the main differences, and how do we see the Mahdi in the Sunni tradition?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, the person who wrote about Mahdi among the Sunni traditionists was Musannaf Abdul Razzaq, Sahib al-Musannaf Abdul Razzaq, who died in 211. And after that, another Sheikh called Nu'aym ibn Hammad, who died in 228 of Hijrah, he wrote a book called Kitab al-Fitan, The Books of Troubles, in which he got a chapter about Mahdi.
Yes.
So my main thesis was about those ahadith which were quoted by him, and I have taken around 221 ahadith and found out that which one are authentic and which one are very, very weak. So there are so many things which are mentioned in those ahadith, but through my research I could say that the authentic ones, there are very few. In all that book, about 22 ahadith were found to be authentic. And according to that, the famous hadith of Jabir ibn Samura and also Abu Salama, and they are also mentioned in Abu Dawud, Sunan Abi Dawud, that even if there is a day left in this world, the age of this world, Allah is going to prolong that day, and he would send a person whose name would be as like my name, his father's name would be like my father's name, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And he is going to fill the earth with peace and equity and justice, as it was filled with injustice and tyranny before that. And the wealth would be in abundance, and there would be so many things which are going to happen during the time
of
Mahdi.
So if I listen to you now, there are common things that are quite clear here. The Mahdi will come, whereas, and spreading around peace and justice in the world. So these are common denominators or characteristics. What is completely different is really about occultation, that this is something which
the
is...
Origin.
Yes.
Because according to Sunni tradition, he is a person from the progeny of Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and from Al-Hasan. Al-Hasan. Some traditions say, yes, he is from the progeny of Al-Husayn as well, but we can reconcile both by saying that from the father's side, he is coming from Hasan, and from the mother's side, he is coming from Al-Husayn. And he is a person who is going to be born, and then he will appear in Makkah, and people are going to give oath of allegiance to him between Rukn and Al-Maqam. It means Rukn Yamani and Maqam Ibrahim. And the people who are going to give oath of allegiance, they are just like the number of the people in the Battle of Badr, 313 or 315. This is how it is going to happen. What comes to my mind, that as Brother Rizvi has said, that Mahdi means the one who is rightly guided.
Yes.
After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were rightly guided caliphs. Alaykum as-sunnati wa sunnatul khulafa ar-rashidin al-mahdiyyin min ba'di.
Translate that, because
stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of those successors of mine who would be rightly guided, who will come after me. That happened in the beginning of Islam. But at the end of the time, the procedure would be reversed. So the Mahdi would come first to pay for Isa ibn Maryam, because Isa ibn Maryam is going to descend. So as if he is going to pave the way for him, because there would be in a lot of battles, and the main battle would be against Dajjal, the imposter.
Yes.
So it means that Isa ibn Maryam, who is known to be killing Dajjal. So before that, Al-Mahdi Muhammad bin Abdullah al-Mahdi, he is going to prepare the land for him.
Okay. What is your take on this? Do you agree? Is this almost the same story in the Shia tradition?
Well, the Holy Prophet had said that he'll be from the progeny of Fatima. Yeah. But today, all the Shias and Sunnis agree that today when you call the Sadat, like probably myself, the people who are from the progeny of the Holy Prophet, they are from his daughter. Hmm. So likewise, when the Holy Prophet is saying, if there are traditions to indicate that he's from Al-Hassan, then he's from Al-Hassan's daughter, who was also named Fatima, who was married to the son of Hussein. So he's going to be from the progeny of Hussein. That is one of the slight differences. He also said that there are some traditions to say that he is from Al-Hussein, alayhi salam. But we strongly believe that he is from Al-Hussein. The other point...
The main points are here about the origins.
Where
the filiation.
Yes. Now, the other point to be noted is that his name is same as the Holy Prophet. But the Holy Prophet says that his kunya is my kunya, his character, his looks, his appearance. And likewise, you know, يَمْلَوْ الْأَرْضَ قِسْتَمْ وَعَدْ لَكَ مَوْلِي ظُلْمَ وَجَوْرَ. He will fill the earth with peace and justice like it was filled with injustice and oppression. So the tradition is the same. But the name of the father is not the same.
Okay.
So there is one difference.
Let me come to something, because there are differences quite clearly here. About the status of this story of the Mahdi in Al-Aqidah, with the Islamic creed, is this something which is part of the essential, the pillars, the fundamentals, or is it a secondary thing? Where do you put it in the whole teaching of Al-Aqidah, which is the creed in Islam? And I want to ask you both the question.
Yes. Our stance, the Shia stance on this, is that the Holy Prophet had said, there will never be a time after me, up to the Day of Judgment, when there is no divine guide from the Almighty Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there will always be a divine guide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a person who is Mahdiyin, meaning rightly guided from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there will always be a time when there is a rightly guided person. And we believe that there cannot be this 1100 years without that rightly guided. So it is a part of the Aqidah. Also to support that are many verses from the Holy Quran and one tradition. I'll just mention one ayah
quickly.
And one hadith. يَوْمَ نَدُخُلُ نَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. The Quran says, on the Day of Judgment, we'll call every people with the Imam of their time. So they will be brought with the Imam. So that's why we say 12 Imams. And we are still in the time of the 12th Imam for the past 1100 years. The other hadith from Musnad Ahmad bin Hanbal, and also in the Shia sources in Usul al-Kafi, that says that مَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ فَقَدْ مَاتَ مِتَةَ الْجَهِلِيَةِ. The one who dies without the recognition of the Imam of his time has died the death of ignorance, or jahiliya, meaning pre-Islamic times.
Yes.
So death of kufr. So that is strong to support
the argument. So it's something which is quite central in the...
It is not a secondary thing, it is a primary belief.
Yeah. What is your response to this, and how do the Sunnis see this?
We say that, as in one hadith, Ulama ummati ka anbiya bani Israel. The ulama of my ummah is just like the prophets of Bani Israel. Here the resemblance is not in the prophethood. Resemblance is in the number. Just like the prophets of Bani Israel, there were many. In the very same way, in this ummah, there will be a lot of scholars of Islam, who are going to take this banner of Islam after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it is very clear from Quran as well, when Allah SWT said that you are going to be shuhud, and you are going to have witness of this Islam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a witness for this religion. So what we say, that ulama of this ummah, they have taken the same responsibility which was taken by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in expanding the truth, in making the people aware of that truth, until by the end of the time, because the matters are not so good, so bright nowadays, and people always look, if these days remain as like this, no, there are good news. Yes, by the end of the time, a person would come, just like the previous Khulafa, who got victories and who got success in their life, in the very same way, this person would bring success and victory as well.
So mainly what you are saying, which is quite important, that in between these two period of time, the scholars, the ulama, are playing the role of guiding the community, which is quite different here, quite clearly different from what is central in the Sunni.
No, I think we do not have a difference. We do believe in the occultation. The ulama do support and guide.
But there is still...
But they are not divinely guided.
Okay.
They are not infallibles. Now, the other point to be noted is that you know, when Sayyid Bukhari says that Imam Mahdi will come, he says, "Wa imamukum minkum," the one who leads the prayers will be from you.
From your
not okay. Not Isa. Isa is not Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is fine, a prophet, but the successors of the Holy Prophet are above. So this person who is Mahdi will be leading even Isa. So he's not just paving the way for Isa alayhi salam.
Okay.
So he's going to be the leader. He's going
So we can see that. But mainly there are things that are quite important as to the similarity. I want to come to this. If I listen to both of you, and this is something which is quite important, we look at the world today and we can be disappointed or sad of the state of affairs. Still, what is said, and this is what you said at the end, is there are good news. And this good news is someone is coming, and it will be a sign of the end of history, but at the same time, it's a positive thing spreading around justice and peace, and justice as a condition of peace, and then the end of the history. So, do the Muslims have a positive, optimistic vision of history? Is this what you are both saying through the Mahdi? Is this something that we can say today?
Here, one thing I made correct that in Al-Bukhari, and there is nothing with the name of Al-Mahdi. It says when Isa and Maryam descend, and then there would be further prayer time, and people would say to him, "Lead us in the prayer," and he would say, "No, you have to pray behind your imam." And then he said to the Mahdi, "Ta'al, salli bina." So it shows that Isa alayhi salam would not be coming with a new prophethood. He would be following the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is an indication that he is going to pray behind Al-Mahdi, who is one of this ummah.
Yes.
So these ahadith of Al-Mahdi,
which is reconciliation between Christianity and Islam, that the prophet is coming to follow Islam. Yes.
Mainly in Sunan Abi Dawud and Sunan Ibn Majah, and also, as I said, in the book of Nu'aym bin Hammad and Musannaf ibn Razzaq, but not in Al-Bukhari. And the other things, يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم, when we are going to call each people with their imam, that is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Yes. This is what our concept is.
So don't go. Okay, we are not going to too much details. We can see that there are differences of interpretation of some text. My question was about optimism. Are we as Muslims optimists? As to the vision of history. Do you see it? Can we say this to the people around?
Yes.
Because I want to draw lessons for today.
We all should not be just waiting, in the sense that it's not negative waiting, that you sit down and wait for someone to come and do everything for you. That is a negative approach. There are two approaches. This is not the difference between Shia and Sunni. This is a general view, a philosophical understanding of it. Some people may argue that you wait and don't do anything. But when you invite someone to come to your house, you always prepare. So you should prepare the grounds. Yes, you may not be successful, but there will still be a few followers. When you say 313, that there is a connection between all the sources, even the Sunnis agree to it.
Yeah.
Meaning they'll still be followers, they'll still be good people. Even though that it is filled with injustice and oppression, they will still be good people. So they should try and always focus and be followers of Islam. And when it comes, everyone will become a follower. And there'll be justice on earth, there'll be peace again on earth.
Yes, but on that, and I want you to react on this, because even you can get some Muslims saying, okay, that's fine, that's okay, we have to act, we have to change the world for the better. At the end, it's not going to be successful. We need the Mahdi to come and to spread around peace and justice, because we are not going to be successful on that. So what is the message, and which kind of lessons we can draw from this story for Muslims today?
I agree with Brother Rizvi when he said that we have not to wait for him. It is just like our belief in destiny, in Al-Qadr. Because if somebody relies upon Qadr, because whatever is going to happen to me would happen to me, so I should not do anything. But we say, yes, in worldly matter, you go out, you do business, you try to find out your livelihood. So in the very same way, in all fields of life, you should do. You should try to do something, even in politics, even in other fields of life. In the very same way, we say that, yes, concept of Mahdi is here. This is just telling us that in the end, the victory is for the truth, is for Islam. These are the good news. But it does not mean that we must not give or contribute with our share. there should be a share of ours as well.
It's much more about the revelation of the final truth at the end than the state of affairs within society within which we have to work and still to act to make it better. These are two different levels. What you are saying is that, yes, we have to understand that deals will get this confirmation of the truth of Islam. At the end, still, we have to act as Muslims now and to change the world for the better.
And if you are building a castle or a fort, now we are at a certain stage where we are contributing with our bricks. So if we don't put our bricks, it is not going to be complete. Mahdi is not going to come if we don't do our work.
Yes.
Likewise, like the previous prophets, you know, Abraham came to rescue the people and Moses came to rescue the people. Likewise, the other prophets were coming to rescue, but it did not mean that the people do not practice. They have to steadfast in their beliefs and practices. Yes, a lot of them will drift from away from the right path, but it does not mean that the others just sit down and wait for Al-Mahdi, Ajjal Allah Ta'ala Farajah, to do everything. No, they should
prepare. Okay, just one little question, and quickly please try to respond to this question. You know, many Muslims are asking today, don't we see the signs of the end of history now in our world? Or do we see the signs of the end of history now, or can we see something which is telling us, yes, it's coming?
Yes, the minor signs of the last day, they're all appearing. Our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you will see the people who were just living in mud houses, now they are in big high.
So the signs are here already?
Yes.
You see the signs?
Yes, disobedience from the children to their parents, that is everywhere prevalent, it is known and seen. So there are signs.
Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that, because there are tens, if not hundreds, of traditions on this, mentioning many minor signs and major signs. There are five or six major signs, none of them have come true. But minor signs, most of them have appeared. You could not think, even 100 years back, even in the Western society, that homosexuality will be legalized. And people actually laugh at it. You know, they laughed at it. And now it has been. Likewise, there are many other concepts that have actually appeared.
Yeah. So the signs are here, but minor still we signs, have to be active to make this
most
world.
Of the minor signs are present that are found in the traditions.
Thank you so much for this. I think that out of this discussion, we have been able to see that from the Shia tradition and the Sunni tradition, there are many, many similarities about the Mahdi, but still important differences, the status of the story, the way we are reading some of the ahadith and the scriptural sources and the prophetic traditions in the way they are interpreted and related to the family of the Prophet, peace be upon him, but also the perception of the world and the future and what we are waiting for. Occultation is not at all understood the same way. Still, what is said here is that yes, we are waiting for the Mahdi to come, but as Muslims, we have to be involved in the society to change it for the better, and not to be passive in the negative waiting of the for the Mahdi. This is something which is quite important, and still signs that the end of history is around. So we have these minor signs, but still action and behaving in the right way are things that are expected from Muslims. Well, that's all we have got time for. And remember, I would like to hear your views. So please email us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. That's islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. I would also like to thank my guests on today's show, Sayyid Ali Raza Rizvi and Sheikh Dr. Soheb Hassan. I hope that you have enjoyed the show and hope to see you next time, inshallah. يا ابن ياسين يا ابن هيدان